welcome back to this week's episode of Ghost Encounters of the Third Cast podcast show. How are you guys? You all right?
I'm all right.
Yeah. Good, thank you.
It's all right. That made Faye jump then.
I know. I was expecting you saying
she wasn't ready. She wasn't ready for you kicking
keeping
in.
Keeping you then. Awake. Keeping you awake. 3, 2, 1, back in the room.
Right. I am awake again.
Yes. 2 weeks on the trot. That's pretty good. Yeah.
I know. It's only because you're on camera.
I know.
Right. This week, we are going to do a little bit of a review on the BBC documentary, shall we say. This is a documentary?
Well, I guess yeah.
Uncanny. You know, most of us have listened to the podcasts, and now they've released a television documentary on BBC Two Friday night. That's where you can watch it if you don't want to listen to us talk about it. So,
is that when it's on Fridays?
I don't know, because to be fair, I did watch it on iPlayer.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
So obviously you can catch up if you've missed it.
Yeah. Right then. So, basically, it was a case of a haunted house. The lady's name was Kate, and the house was in Melbourne, Cambridgeshire. The house was built in the 1800s, and it was originally two properties, which is where we start off on the documentary. It was being knocked about at the time when Kate lived in the house. Her dad was knocking the house into one big house. So what did you think of it? I've got some notes here, so I can ask a few question types.
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the podcast, but I really enjoyed that. And I don't think we should spoil it for anybody that's not watched it yet, but right at the end actually made me say, oh my God, out loud. So, I enjoyed it. What about you guys? Enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was good.
Nick.
Me.
Skeptic Nick this week.
Nick.
This week.
Yes, I was dribbly Nick last week, and I was skeptic Nick this week. Yes, I enjoyed it. It was good. Like I say, I've listened to all the Uncanny podcasts, and they're really good. And it's like this now. It's just now see your face to the voice, isn't it? You know.
Isn't it?
I'm not getting to you. But I'm not, like I say, we can't really say too much if people haven't watched it. We could just come on here and destroy it for everybody, couldn't we? But
Talk about the general gist of it. Yeah. But it's a little bit like Sixth Sense. Don't let them know the ending.
Right, yeah. Have you watched all of it, Faye?
I think I did.
Did you? Fell asleep, did you?
Yeah.
Watched off and dreamt the rest.
I believe I did.
You're told by Larry you did.
That's
okay.
I was more interested in the Philip experiment because I've not heard of that before and I've not seen it.
Yeah, we'll have to have it.
And there is another documentary on that.
I think most people who were interested in this field probably heard of the Scholes experiment before. But I think I personally don't think the Philip experiment is as well known.
No. Unless you're actually involved in the paranormal field and you dig deep, like.
Do you know about it?
Yeah.
For the viewers. The viewers now.
Viewers,
not the listeners. Yes, the viewers. Talk us through the Philip experiment.
Well, basically, what it was is a group of scientists and parapsychologists and just a group of people went out to see if they could manifest their own ghost. So what they did is they made a person up, believe it or not, named Philip.
All right.
The Philip
experiment. This is all made up.
And they gave him a job, gave him a name, a job, a family, a past life. They gave him everything.
Okay.
So it was all there. And then they just tried a number of ways to try and communicate with this ghost. And in the end,
knowing that they'd made it up,
they did Ouija boards, they did table tipping, dowsing, they did everything, didn't they? And they actually did it. They communicated with their own ghost that they'd made up.
See, I have so many questions about this. So many questions. So, number one, how do they know that's who they were communicating with?
Because it come through Philip on the Ouija board.
It's just...
All the names, they asked the right questions, and then these answers came up.
Yeah, but the people...
To correspond... I
if
know
you're
that.
Calling out for the Philip, you'll get a Philip, won't you?
But the people that were doing the experiments were the ones that gave him those details, so they knew the answers. So what would have been more impressive is if they got a different group of people in that didn't know any of his background and his name, and then communicated to see what information they were getting.
I can't believe you said that, because that's what I was going to do. That's what I was going to do, and make loads of money and write a book about it.
Well,
but now you just spoiled it.
Well, there you go. Then.
Everybody's going to jump onto that now.
It kind of, in my head, doesn't have a lot of credence. That's like going on a Ouija board and asking questions about your own family, and it's spelling out the right answers.
Yeah, no. Isn't the same as
has
no, on a
it has
board.
No validation for
well,
me.
Well, we all think the same way as in a Ouija board, that somebody's got to be pushing the planchette anyway, subconsciously or consciously, whoever it is, you know.
Mm. Yeah, but this Philip experiment has kind of been done before. Not obviously, maybe not, I'm saying before, I don't know when this was done, but it has been done on Most Haunted. Or something with Derek Akorian, because he got slated for it, didn't he?
I think what happened was Kieran O'Keefe purposely spoke about a name that was supposedly used to, you know, had some connection with the building they were in, and he just made the name up. And later on in that particular episode, I think Derek Akorian claimed to be channeling this person with a name that he'd overheard, but I think that was just Derek clutching at straws, really.
But I would say it was a similar kind of thing. He made it up and he brought it through, and Kieran O'Keefe was saying, I've just made that up, so that's false. You've just made that, you've kind of fake information.
But I haven't seen that.
But if it was information, then why couldn't he pick it up? It's not really a deceased spirit, is it? But it's a thought. You know,
it's the power of suggestion, isn't it?
Yeah, but if he hadn't heard that name prior to him giving the information out, that isn't power of suggestion. If he hasn't heard the name, if he picked up on it, maybe psychically.
I think the gist of it was that Kieran O'Keefe mentioned this name knowing that Derek Akora was in earshot. Okay. And then when he brought the name up, then that's when they said, well, he's faking because he's just repeating information he's overheard, and that information was made up.
That was naughty, wasn't it?
I think that was just Derek Akora having an off day and clutching at straws.
Better Vet
and
Carl were happy with him, weren't they?
Well, at which point that was when he was no longer on the show, wasn't it? So, yeah. But that's like me overhearing Faye talking to you guys about somebody, and then two days later, me saying, "Oh, does anybody know such a body?" I'm picking up, knowing that. Do you know what I mean? It has no credence, does it? If you know.
Yeah, what you're on about is like having a conversation with Mark.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. And it doesn't have to be a date, it can be five minutes.
Yeah, it could be five minutes. Sorry, Mark.
Yeah. So that, I mean, it's a big deal, isn't it? And it's quite well known, this Philip experiment. But I don't really get.
No, it's worth watching though. If you can find a full documentary on it, it's worth a watch.
Yeah,
just to, even if you don't agree with it, really, do you know what I mean? Mm. But yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I don't know.
Going back to Kate and the ghost.
Go on then.
The first she was aware of it, she felt cold spots in the house. Which made her feel panicked, and she woke up a few times with the spirit of Miss Howard. It was Miss Howard, wasn't it? Wasn't she? No, she didn't ever got married. The ghost never got married.
She was a lonely ghost.
I think how old was this Kate when she first started experiencing this? She was only young, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Like young, school
family,
age.
Family home, wasn't it? Was she there with her sister?
Yeah, and I think she just said the name Miss Howard. She doesn't actually know where that came from. It was almost like it was just put into her head, and that's what she knew this apparition as from then on in, was Miss Howard.
Yeah. And like she reported clocks stopping and actually running backwards. She only told about 5 people growing up, so I don't suppose there's many people around her that knew about said ghost. She was ridiculed a bit, so she never told anybody else. And then she described the Miss Howard as having an unkind face. So she obviously got quite a good look at what she looked like, which later on in the story she actually picked a lady out of a photograph, a Miss Howard from where was she at? She was at some library. Historian. She went to see an historian, didn't she?
Yeah. I think she was shown pictures of lots of a Howard family, wasn't she, that lived in the area back in the 1900s or something like that. And of the one that she actually picked out, it transpired that that was the one of the Howard family that never actually got married. So she,
there was six daughters, weren't there? Five or six.
She would have been a Miss Howard because she actually never got married.
Mavis, they said her name was.
Was it?
Mavis.
Okay.
Yeah. Our Mavis.
Mavis.
But it was quite uncanny.
It was quite uncanny.
The historian was also a Howard.
Yes.
Hang on.
Synchronicity.
What was it?
Synchronicity. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But they actually traced a family that lived in the property prior to
Kate's family.
Yeah. I don't know, is that why I'm getting the two sisters mixed up? Did both families have two sisters?
No. Yeah. And I think, did Kate have a sister as well? I can't remember.
No, was it? Sorry.
Oh.
Right, yeah. No, the first family had, there was two sisters, weren't there?
Was there? Yes, because she said they lay in beds, and her dad used to sit in the middle of the two single beds and tell stories. And then after he left, Miss Howard would come in and she would sit on Kate's bed and put a hand on her back.
She tried to wake her sister, didn't she?
Yeah.
And she couldn't wake
her. So, yes, there were two sisters in both families, Nick. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I hadn't got that written down, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, Kate saw also a male. Ghost in that same house, walking and carrying a candle.
And the weird thing was she said that he'd got a grey beard, didn't she? And on the pictures of the actual Howard family, the father, Mr. Howard, did have a grey beard.
We've all got grey beards.
I've got no hair.
Grey beards.
We've all got grey beards.
No. Okay. No, when they haven't had a shave, they've got
grey beards.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Oh dear. Anyway, so what she said was when she saw the spirit of the man with the grey beard carrying the candle, that they were both surprised to see each other.
That's strange, isn't it? Yeah.
Which took a spin off. I think we've already done it.
So she saw the ghost, and the ghost saw her. Yeah.
And he was as shocked at seeing her as she was of seeing him.
Which kind of indicates two different existences, doesn't it?
It isn't very often you get a case where there's intelligence with an apparition.
Mm.
You usually don't respond to anything.
Well, they actually tried to put it down to a time slip.
Yeah.
I've already discussed.
Yeah. Like a good time slip.
Because they went to Bold Street.
They did,
That could be one explanation for it.
Mm.
Yeah. It was Frank wanted the police, the policeman. Yeah. But they found the girl that he
because they say they thought at first, well, many people do, that it was just one of them things that have been made up and sort of built on over the years, and it was a bit of an urban myth about the bookstore, and it changed
into
Bowl
Street now, isn't it?
Yeah. Was it Cripps or something? Yeah. And the guy, Frank, that everybody calls him, actually saw a young woman in the shop and sort of grabbed her and asked her, did you see that? And she ran off.
Mm.
And they actually managed to trace down that woman, and he met up with her, and she corroborated the story and said, yeah, it was right, and I was there, and this is what happened. So that was really good, because I don't think anybody's ever managed to do that before. Nobody's ever followed it up and tried to find the guy or the woman, I don't think.
They only found the woman, didn't they, from a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they haven't found the bloke yet. But which I'm a bit sceptical about, because, you know, if somebody knows that story of Bold Street, maybe anybody could have been that woman, you know.
Yeah.
He was a man of certain age, though, back then.
I think
he was
an ex-policeman as well, apparently.
He's going to be in his... What is he going to be in now? He's going to be
in
his... I
don't know. Well, she was in 80s. She said she was in her early 20s. Didn't she? And she didn't look... I mean, how old would you say that she looked now? Maybe 40s?
When did this happen?
I don't know.
When did it happen? You know.
I don't know. I don't know the exact year.
Is it 70s? 70s.
I don't know. They had like vans zooming around, so I don't suppose it'd be any much further back than 60s, maybe.
60s.
I don't know.
No, because the woman, the girl...
No, Do you mean when was it reported, or
when did it happen? 70s,
I think, was it?
70s.
Okay.
I think they went back it was actually going back to the 50s, but it actually happened to the guy and the woman in the 70s, I think.
Right, okay, so they went back about 20 years
I think so. Well, the
woman that they had on the programme, I would say she looked no older than in her 40s, and she was supposedly in her early 20s when it happened.
Mm.
So that would suggest maybe 20, you know, early 20 years ago. So, yeah. So maybe late 70s, early 80s, maybe. I don't know. Something we'll have to...
Been recent ones, though, hasn't there, Bowl Street?
There has been
2018,
quite
wasn't it? The girls in the station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Two young girls.
Yeah.
That was the latest
in
one.
In a train station, obviously.
Liverpool train station.
Is that far from Bowl Street?
No, we passed it.
They've
didn't
actually
we?
Got. You can get to the station.
Subway that goes down
from Bowl Street. Yeah.
To go there.
2018. Me and Marie paraded up and down Bold Street, didn't we?
We had a very strange experience ourselves in Bold Street.
I did, yeah.
Every time Faye hit a particular area of the street, you got almost like a vertigo. We got very,
sit down, didn't
very
at one point.
Sort of dizzy. And
I hadn't
bit
had a gin.
Yeah,
no.
Didn't you?
No, it was early on. I hadn't had a gin.
And then strangely also, we went up the street on one day, and then the next day we went the street again. And we literally could not remember seeing a whole group of shops that were there. We were like, we didn't see these yesterday. Where have these come from?
And we were
from?
Quite vigilant, because we really were waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, so that was a little bit strange. I mean, we weren't surrounded by 40s people dressed up in 40s or 40s vehicles or anything. But it was strange that there was at least four shops, I would say.
We went to, we found
that
the,
we never noticed.
The Tesco store.
Yes.
Because there was a young lad that stole something from the Tesco store, mm-hmm. and he ran, didn't he?
Yes.
And he ran down the side.
Which is a little bit like an alleyway, like a dead end.
A brick wall. And the security guard come out and went for a run after him and saw him disappear into the wall. That was another one.
Oh, that's a good
night, sweetheart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good night, sweetheart.
Mm.
If that's where that story comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
And there was the guy come out, didn't he? Because he come out in panic.
Yeah.
Because he'd gone through it, didn't know. He was running away because he'd stolen something. And said he was running.
He just found
just
himself
saw,
in a
found
different...
Found himself in a completely different... Again, I think it was like 1940s, 50s, wasn't it? So he turned and he ran back the way he'd come. and then he just ran into normality as such.
Okay. I think there's a theory that it may have something to do with the church at the top of the road, because right if you look up Bowl Street, at the head of the road is that enormous church that was bombed, I think, in the war.
Isn't that it? Isn't there a story of somebody getting in there?
Yeah, there's supposed to be a guy that with kids tries to take kids away. Yeah, an apparition in there. But because that was bombed in the 40s, obviously during the war, and every time anybody has a time slip, it seems to be around the 40s time that they get taken to. Yeah. I think they're thinking there may be a connection with that church. So
there was also a lady, was there not a lady? The boots on the corner.
Yeah, She went in. It was a baby's clothes shop. And then she went to go out to get some money from, and then when she went back, I think it was a bank or something. Something that changed, So there's many.
She was a visitor to Liverpool, obviously. She didn't know.
Many stories about it, so, yeah. Sorry, we digress. Nick.
It'll be good to get somebody message in or come on as a guest if anyone's experienced
something like that, or anywhere really.
Time slip of any kind, really interesting.
And if you know of any other areas that they do a time slip, or do they? It seems from what you're saying, when they go into the time slip, it's always back to the same sort of time.
Seems to be. The stories that I've read about seems to be around the 40s era.
It'd be interesting if there's another one somewhere else that the same thing happens, you know, go back to the same area or is it different times? Or
and I think I'm not very good at explaining the scientific reasons, but I think it's something to do with that. There's a theory about these time slips saying that time isn't sort of linear and that it can sort of be folded over on itself. Sometimes you can experience, you know, different eras at apparently.
I can't get my head around things.
We don't know. Well, at the end of the day, we'll never know, will we?
We were kind of hoping we might experience a time slip, weren't we, Faye?
We must have looked very strange because we were just wandering about Bold Street all day, weren't
we? Going in and out of shops, hoping that when we came out of one, we'd see 1940s vehicles and things.
We
but
didn't
you
get
know.
That.
I'm guessing you won't be the only people doing that there.
It seems to be when it happens, it's people that are not expecting it, not looking for it.
They're just
if you go
shopping.
Out looking for it, it's not going to happen.
It's just the same as anything paranormal, isn't it? If you go out searching for it, 9 times out of 10, you don't find anything, do you?
Yeah.
Anyway, uncanny.
Yeah.
Sorry.
As always.
Well, there's loads of little bits and pieces in there, but we don't want to ruin the end.
You haven't got to watch it now because we told you what happened there all the way through.
No,
basically, in the story is it's a classic haunting, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And everything just falls into place, doesn't it, at the end, like, you know, it's good. It's definitely worth a watch. I'm just hoping the next one is as good.
Yeah.
Which I think it will be, because the podcasts are ace, aren't
they? Yeah.
Yeah. So are we not telling the ending?
No.
Well, let's just give them a little teaser to say that there was some research done to see if this Miss Howard ever lived anywhere near that property. Let's just say that, shall we?
Don't do it, Nick.
Of course, but yeah, it was really interesting that two families experienced the same kind of thing, and it was the kids and girls. Experience the same kind of thing, apparently not knowing about each other's experiences. So,
it's definitely worth a watch.
Absolutely worth a watch.
We won't tell you any more and spoil it for you, but you got a little bit of the gist.
And there's lots more. That. There's lots more to it in there. Yeah. In
but
the
he
program,
dies at the end.
You know.
He does as well. Dead.
They're very crafty, aren't they, ghosts? Because they always do it when people... You haven't got your camera or you haven't got a witness.
You find
slippery buggers.
You find on a lot of the...
These dead people as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
You find on the investigations, a lot of stuff happens as you're leaving a room behind your back, or just as you finish doing something and you're leaving, then, you know, don't you? As you're leaving a room, you hear something in the room you're leaving, or or you hear it from the room you've just been in next door. Yeah. Or when you're completely ignoring them and you're just having a laugh and a joke between yourselves and you're not calling out, you're not trying to communicate. That's when things seem to happen.
Yeah.
Or do you think?
I think everybody should set up a night vision camera in the bedroom or in the house one night and just see.
Absolutely not. What would happen then?
Because you'd never sleep again, would you?
Yeah. Absolutely not. I don't want to see what goes on in my house when I'm not there or when I'm asleep. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Imagine you wake up and
watch that's, and that's coming from a paranormal investigation.
Absolutely. I've always said
really
I'm a total believer.
I've always said I'm an absolute believer, and I've always said I'll do spirit boards, Ouija boards, whatever you want to call them. I'll collect objects with attachments or curse things, or I'll do any of that, but not in my home. And that's why, because I am a total believer, I don't want anything not in the home. No.
I actually opened that parcel today at home. I wasn't going to. I was going to read it straight to you. But
I have a, for those people that are listening, have a cabinet here at the Nook that's full of curiosities, let's say. Lots of different interesting objects, with some with stories, some with no stories to them, don't know the history. And none of them have ever been in my house, apart from the one that are stupidly
the worst one.
And actually, the worst one.
Because I didn't know at the time, so I did take it into the house and I did open it in the house.
I did have a little rummage in there.
Yeah, but that wasn't. But everything else has stayed in the car until I've come here. Or it's gone in the shed. It's not gone into the house. So yeah. That's my little sanctuary, and it gets cleansed and saged and all sorts in there, and that's how it's staying. So no, I don't want to know if anything's going on in there. Thank you.
What would you do if you did set up a video and you saw your bed covers being pulled off you?
Oh, I'd be ace. I'd be ace.
I'd be moving.
Would you really? You wouldn't.
No, I don't think you would. It's never bothered you before.
Let's be honest, it would massively freak you out, wouldn't it? It would.
No matter
what your reaction would be, that would massively freak you out. But no, I don't know. I feel very comfortable in my home. I've been told that there's something there or someone there, but I'm quite happy and quite comfortable. So, yeah, I don't have an issue. The previous place could be a bit iffy at times. But and I think sometimes it's like because of what we do as well. You know, if you didn't do what you did, like you, Nick, have activity in your house and you've witnessed things in your house witnessed things in your house. And it makes you think if we weren't into this and we didn't do what we did, would we have witnessed things in our house? Mm. Is it because it makes us more aware, or is it it makes us more sensitive to it so we can see or pick up on things? Or I don't know, but maybe... Makes you wonder how many people things are happening to or that they don't even notice.
Yeah, they're oblivious to it.
They will do. Things happen all the time. Yeah. It's a classic thing when you go and see a medium, or I'm on about a real proper medium now, or when you have a reading off them and they'll say they give you signs but you're not looking for them. That's a classic thing, isn't it?
You're not noticing.
So you need to be aware, and then you're listening. Maybe it's a song on the radio, or maybe it's just a smile, or just something simple, you know?
You know, I'm really bad at that. You're really good at that, Faye.
What's that?
Like noticing things around you. Mm. I think you are quite mindful. Mm. I'm really bad at that. You know, somebody will say, oh, did you notice that's... No, I didn't notice. Considering what I do, I'm really bad. I'm switched on investigations, but in my every day-to-day living, I don't think I'm as mindful that I should be.
Mm.
But I'm quite bad at that.
Yeah. It's hard, really, if you're just pottering about and, I don't know.
Well, I had a bit of a weird happenings. in my house last week.
Happenings. Okay.
I went into the bedroom, and as soon as I went in the room, one of my wife's slippers actually moved, and I saw it move.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, I just stood there a little bit, and I was like,
did you hit it with the other one?
No. she was asleep at the time. So I was stamping on the floorboards to see whether just me being fat and overweight made a difference to the slip.
You mean heavy footed, that's what you meant.
Yeah, heavy footed. It didn't, so I just got in bed. I was just lying in bed, and at the same place where the slipper was, there was a bag, a grocery bag, like, you know, £1.50 big bags, and they like quite crinkly.
Yeah.
Just got a bit of washing in that was brought up from downstairs, and all of a sudden I heard crinkling while I was in bed, lying in bed. I heard this crinkling, and I thought, bloody damn cat has come in the room, jumping in a bag and crinkling the bag. So I go out of bed to kick the cat out, and the cat was lying on the landing in its little bed thing, asleep. So it wasn't the cat.
Now, I do have to say, I mean, I don't know about the slipper, but I do have to say that in the past, I have experienced hearing a plastic bag move when there's been nothing near it. And it was also in October, and it transpired it was a massive spider. Because it is spider season, I'm just saying, and some of them are huge. And
oh, Nick.
And
it's moved the slipper.
But truthfully, I don't think they're big enough to move a slipper. But yeah, I have had that experience, and I've thought, that is weird. Why is that bag moving? And there just happened to be a massive spider in there.
Just think about them just crawling around while you're asleep and your mouth open.
No.
Yeah, that's just a myth, isn't it?
Dropping your mouth.
Don't it?
Crawl in there.
They do. People eat on average how many spiders in a lifetime?
Loads.
Yeah. Loads.
£1.50 for a bag. I'll pay 75p at Tesco.
Is it a big
so
crinkly
out of that
one,
story,
yeah, crinkly one, yeah.
Out of Nick's story, yeah, that was the bit that you picked up on.
What about Sainsbury's, isn't it?
Been ripped off.
That's the message.
Yeah, absolutely. That was some spirit poking at that bag and going, £1.50.
It was a Marks and Spencer's.
Oh,
there you go.
You can't beat a Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah, see, every little helps.
Posh in your house, Nick, aren't you?
And for bring you washing upstairs in Marks and Spencer's bag.
Oh, wow.
Could have at least done it with a B&M.
Yes, a B&M bag.
Or a Lidl.
Or a Lidl.
Yeah. Wow, so that was strange then.
Yeah. It was quite weird. But it wasn't the only thing. Because you talked about on Monday about knocking.
Yeah, really big.
I actually did a little video on Sunday, which I've not put out, about spirit knocking. And the reason I did it was because I was on a Altered States and Psychedelic Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just someone put a post on there. And what they said was, has anybody heard the door knock while they've been on magic mushrooms? And I was like, ooh. Because on my door knocks all the time, just one bang, and I don't know how they lift the knocker, and it doesn't blow in the wind because it's too heavy. So I hear that all the time.
I hear my
door knock.
Yeah, but
what does that mean?
Well, and I know we've been doing this for many years, and we do ask for knocks, but it just intrigued me that someone was asking the question if it happened on psychedelics. I was like, ooh. I wonder what happens if you're on psychedelics.
So what's the connection?
I didn't really find a connection. It just went on to.
Is it a nicer knock or something then if you're on?
No, it isn't nice.
What is it?
So I don't understand what.
So,
what the
no, I don't know. It just intrigued me. Because we know we ask for knocks and stuff when we're on investigations. So, but we always ask like. knock once for yes and twice for no, all that kind of thing.
It's just a type of communication, isn't it, that we think, for some reason, we think it's easier for them if they can communicate like that, make a noise or, I don't know.
But there is a list online of one knock means, it's like the, if you see a magpie, you know, one knock.
Oh, really?
So it's three knocks like having a go at the Holy Trinity.
I don't know.
See, I think that's nonsense.
I do, because
that's another thing that's
I'm not religious, as you know. And the knocks we had the other night was horrific. I've never had anything like them when I've been ghost hunting 20 odd years. They were that loud, it was unreal.
Where was this?
Here. No.
We had them here on the wall, I told you about that. Mm-hmm. And then Lisa was on the toilet and she shouted me up.
That's it then.
I don't think you needed to say that.
Well, no,
did
I'm just saying,
sorry,
like, she was on
sorry,
toilet.
Lisa.
She shouted me up, she says, and she got the toilet door open and she said, I've opened this because there was just knocks on the door, on the toilet door. She says, and when I opened it, you hear knocks in the bedroom. So she says, go have a look. So I go have a look, there's nothing there. So I go downstairs and about half an hour later, three massive big knocks come from the bedroom where Lisa was in bed. And I mean, they made the, got like this chandelier thing in the living room that moved. With that loud.
Doing what you do, why have you not got cameras set up and recorders set up? And
well, from then I took some equipment home.
Okay.
He doesn't want to know either what goes on in his house when he's asleep.
See, this.
The good thing about this is, you were saying, like, a table, so we tend to pick it up because we're doing this all the time and all that. But it's Lisa and Ruby that are getting more activity than actual me. They're the ones that are telling me about it.
Mm.
So.
But this mocking of the Holy Trinity number three thing, I think that's a load
of
nonsense.
What's this? I don't know what this
so,
is.
So they say, if you're on an investigation and let's say you've been scratched and there's three scratches, mm-hmm. or you're communicating and they're knocking in threes,
they say that it's
the mocking of the Holy Trinity. So it's a negative spirit or a demon, as they like to call them,
right?
And it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So that's the threes. But if you knock on anything yourself, I think it's just most people knock.
Mm.
They knock in threes. It's that's just a thing that people do when you knock on a door. It's knock, knock, knock.
Even
you
Sheldon
know, it's
does.
Just,
it.
It's just exactly, Sheldon. Exactly. So,
Penny, nine times he does it.
And also, scratches. If you think about it, when you scratch, your little pinky rarely
or
scratches.
Your thumb. Yeah.
So you're gonna get three scratches. Mm. You know, that's just. So I think this. Oh, how many times have you been scratched? How many knocks were there? I think that might be a little bit of nonsense.
Well. It's all nonsense to me anyway, because I'm not religious in that way anyway. So if I get three knocks, I'm happy to just get three knocks. You know?
Yeah. It doesn't. I don't hold much credence to that meaning. It's anything dark or.
I think you touched on it Monday. And on his talk, a friend of ours, Mark, not the same Mark who we were always on about, a guy called Mark Reynolds, and a lot of the things that you believe in when you're doing paranormal investigators, a lot of it does depend on your religious views, I think, you know. So obviously if you are very religious and you believe in God and you believe in the devil and the demons, you believe that people can be possessed by the devil and the demons. If you like myself, that I don't believe anybody can get possessed by a demon or a devil because I don't believe in them. I just think you can get an attachment with a bit of a naughty spirit, or you know what I mean? So that just goes to show, if you believe in, it's Catholicism really with the three knocks. People, Catholics, think that's having a go at the Holy Trinity. you know.
I just think in life there is bad and dark people, so there will be bad and dark spirits as they were when they were living, surely. It doesn't mean that they're inhuman or demonic or, I don't know, I have an issue with, I don't know, people say if you believe in angels, then you must believe in demons. If you believe in good, you believe in evil. If you believe in God, then you must believe in the devil and things, but I don't know.
I think they have to both exist, don't they?
Yeah.
Tesla, was it Tesla had a fixation with the number 3, didn't he? 3, 6 and 9.
6 and 9 is the key to unlocking.
Goose tranquility.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Just came back to her again. Lisa, she is really, really... What's it with the number 3? Well, she's got 3 kids. But if she buys anything, it's always in 3s. She won't buy, like, a, I don't know, just say, like, Christmas decorations for the tree. She won't buy 2 or 4. It's got to be 3.
Mm. What's a life number?
3 is the rule, she says. I don't know.
You haven't worked out a life
number.
I don't
know how to do that. What did you see?
You were told how to do that the other day.
Yeah, exactly. Huh?
Just have to add up a little bit.
Yeah. I haven't got a clue.
Yeah. That would be interesting, because if she turns out to be a 3.
I don't know. I don't know how to do it now, do you?
Mine's 8.
Is it?
It's the year you were born, isn't it?
I'm 3.
I'm a
1.
So
you are?
It's the year you were born, isn't it?
You add up your birth date, don't
you?
Yeah,
1979, 1971.
Yeah, I'm a 1.
8.
I'm a number 1. And you were a...
I don't know. But Lisa, I'm not a number 2.
number 2?
I was a number 2.
Number 2.
But it's funny, Lisa's birthday... is the same as the year she was born. The 1st of the 9th, 79.
I know, I'm
1979.
Okay.
And 1979.
Okay.
Which is weird anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
There isn't many of them, is there?
What's that? Say it again.
She was born 1979.
Yes.
But her birthday is the 1st of September.
So it's 1979.
Yeah, 1979. Oh. So, which is weird. I won't give you a, what's it, national insurance number. All that time, so.
There must be loads of them, Nick, when you think about it.
Well then, what?
People with birthdays like that?
Is there? There's
mine's 17th of the 9th, 1971.
2.
Say that again.
17th of the 9th, 1971.
Yeah, but that isn't 19, is it?
No.
It's got to be. If you were born in the 20th century, you've got to be the 1st of September,
hasn't
it?
Yeah, there must be loads of people that were born in the 1st of September. I know Lisa's a really nice lady, but I don't think she was the only baby born on the 1st of September.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's weird.
In the world. It is weird. I've not heard of any. I don't know anybody.
I don't know.
That's, yeah.
Anyway.
We'll have to do it. Podcast on numerology, maybe.
Okay, I'll just sit and I'll listen to that.
as long as it's not gematria and it's bloody, what's it? Good grief, we don't want to go down that road, do we, Marie?
No.
Who?
Gematria. Don't do that. Numerology, but not gematria.
We'll speak about that one later.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
No, I haven't either. Does it exist?
No, you don't want to. So anyway, uncanny.
That's it, yeah. Anyway, yeah. It was good once. It's worth a watch, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely worth a watch. Looking forward to the next one that comes out. So.
Yep, very good.
Yeah, definitely worth a watch.
Okay, trial then.
We went off topic a little bit, but it's kind of connected, wasn't it?
Yeah, kind of. It's kind of connect. We get there in the end, as always.
It's definitely worth going to wherever you get your podcast from and listen to all the uncanny podcasts. It's quite
after you've listened to ours.
There's quite a few, yeah, obviously.
Obviously,
we don't want to know about it, will they?
That goes without saying. Yeah.
You'll have to watch this so then you know about uncanny.
But I'm sure there's a few new ones that have come on my podcast which I haven't listened to. Have you been a chat back?
The uncanny ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah, he's doing them all the time now, isn't he? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Uncanny is on Friday night at 9 o'clock on BBC Two. So definitely go and check it out and have a watch of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We call it a day on
that. Any questions for us? You know how to get in touch. It is contact@ghostencounters.org. Is that right?
Well yeah. done.
We're hey, up now.
Well hey, done.
Good. Did you know that thing?
No.
No, I knew that.
No. I still don't.
Do you know? You didn't listen. You weren't listening, were you?
No.
No.
Do you know what? Do you know what I've realised it is that makes me go sleep?
What? Me.
It's the music.
Who is it?
It's not this one, the one you had playing. I was proper going.
Was you?
It's like a meditation music, that is.
Cool.
I have to have something a bit spicy next
spicy.
Time.
Spicy.
Spicy.
A bit spicy.
Right.
Okay.
Happy days.
Brilliant.
TTFN.
For now.
Thanks for coming.
Okay.
Bye.
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 Bye.